irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am T.J. Jackson, and with me I have both of my brothers today. Taj, Terrell, how are you guys?
What's going on, T?
What's going on?
Nothing much. It's July 11th, 2018. And it's another warm day here in SoCal. But nothing like last weekend where it was 117. Something crazy like that.
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. It's crazy.
This is more comfortable warm.
Yeah. But you probably like this stuff.
I do.
It's crazy.
It was a little too hot at one point.
Yeah. Even for you.
Yeah. Even for me.
We are live on the Power of Love show, so if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. We will have Twitter open the entire show. Taj, he looks like he's on Twitter. I can't see from this distance. He gives me the thumbs up and the nod, but he could be, you know, still lying. But but he looks like he's on Twitter, and if you want to tweet us a question, a comment, anything regarding the show, make sure you do so at DDJ Foundation. Again, it's DDJ Foundation. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it, and we want to share our opinions and what we've learned in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it and to not just rely on us. I will start with this. How was your guys's, well, really 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks.
It was 2 weeks because we weren't here last week. So
I mean, a lot has happened.
Talk to us.
Since then. I mean, obviously, we have Grandpa's service.
Yeah, his passing, too.
Yes, his passing. The last show we did was the day that he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And we dedicated and did that show in his honor. And then the following week, I think we took that off because there's just so much going on. But since then, we've had the service, and it was difficult. It was different for me because Bryce really surprised me with this whole the whole passing of Grandpa. I think really hit him hard.
And you weren't expecting him to?
No. I think it was his age. Adrian's still young, you know.
Yeah.
But just Bryce, I don't know what it was. He was just very hurt and he wanted to see Grandpa, the body, and be close to the casket, everything.
Mm-hmm. Terrell, how old is Bryce, just for our listeners?
Bryce is now 10.
And Adrian?
Adrian is 7.
Okay.
They just turned 7 and 10.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see he was very emotionally, struggling emotionally. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, that was his first really incident dealing with a death?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That he was old enough
to understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what really took me.
You wouldn't have thought that, Terrell? Like if you rewound 3-4 months?
Not to this extent because, I mean, for me, it's like I didn't, like with Mom, I didn't see her. It was, I think they had an open casket. I don't know, but. We didn't see her.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would want to see Grandpa, but I did, you know, because Bryce did. And it helped me because now it's not as hard for me, you know, and it was okay to see Grandpa.
Yeah.
And also Pops, you know, there's a lot of family members that.
Let me ask you real quick. Was that your first time seeing an open?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
And going into it, I assume you thought you would never want to see a loved one.
I didn't think so. I don't know, because I didn't want to carry that memory, but a lot has changed since then, you know. A lot has changed. And I think it helped in a way.
Yeah. I'm completely in agreement.
It brought some closure, and you went as well.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know if it was JoJo that led the way.
Yeah, I mean, we all got our turns to go see Grandpa, and JoJo's more like Bryce.
Right.
And But it was not the first time me seeing a loved one open casket. And it's interesting because growing up, I always thought I never wanted to because I wanted my memory of that person to be of, you know, a lively one. But the two that I can remember open caskets of loved ones, I understand what you're saying. It seems like it's more healing to see that person and say your goodbyes.
They're at ease.
And exactly. And just to give them that love. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's for sure. Because it's one of those things where I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just older, like you said. Maybe it's just an age thing and we're able to deal with grief better.
Right.
And not necessarily the fact that we're seeing a loved one, you know, in a casket like that. Mm-hmm. But it was very interesting, you know, and to piggyback off, obviously, the main topic that happened to us the last couple of weeks is, you know, our whole family was there. And for everyone, again, we said that the last show, but... You know, we're in complete grateful for our grandfather. We loved him and we'll always, you know, respect and appreciate and everything he's done for us. Sure, his methods were a little different.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, it's what made us who we are. It contributed greatly to that. And I think it really helped balance grandma, to be honest, you know. So,
yeah.
But our whole family is still dealing with it. And you know, every day, I guess they say time heals, but every day is still a struggle.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting. I mean, I think this goes with all people and all families. The loss, the impact it has on people is different. And some deeper than others, or maybe they're showing it's deeper. It's just different type of healing and different type of grieving and pain. And there were some family members that I really, my heart went out to, because I didn't realize his loss had such a big impact on their lives. And then just hearing stories, after we left, and went to, I forget the name of the place we went to, but, hearing family members and friends, close friends speak and other friends show up and family, it was nice to hear stories. We laughed and we cried and I think you know, people would often say, just like grandpa would want, you know, us to carry on and smile and laugh. And, you know, grandpa did some great things. He did some really, really good things. And I think he's looking and thinking about him. He really changed the entertainment world to me.
Yeah.
I mean, for a family to do what he's done.
Well, he changed pop culture,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, real quick too, I think this was the first, at least I can remember, guys, this was the first time where there was a service kind of after the service.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where we got to
reception.
Like a reception. And
because it was very close. It was very close and private.
Yeah. But it was with all the loved ones beyond family, mm-hmm. you know, with friends and colleagues and associates of my grandfather's, able to share recollections and memories of who he was. Right. That was the first time I've kind of experienced that.
Right. And one thing else I wanted to say was Uncle Marlon speaking.
Yeah.
I thought that was very powerful and touching. And people said things about Grandpa and what he's done for, you know, the music and the family and things. And they also talked about the man.
Yeah.
And then I just want to also point out that week, our uncles had Papa T had a show, I think, in New York, playing with his blues band, and then San Diego, and then they were off to Europe. So we talked before about canceling shows and going on, and I thought I saw a video or Instagram post about our uncles performing and, you know, saying things about Grandpa. So it's just, you know, just it's I wanted to mention that they were out performing, doing something that Grandpa would want them to do.
Yeah.
And it helps them because they're doing what they feel they're supposed to do. And it helps the grieving process for them.
Well, and I think that will actually piggyback into our show today because, today we have a special guest. We have Cecilia Yang. I was just thinking, but she, lost her mother and is doing a really cool kind of tribute.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I'm seeing it, in her memory. What's up, Taj?
No, nothing.
No, I think it's really nice what she's doing and very interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to introduce Cecilia. Cecilia, are you with us right now?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you, by the way?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, you're an incredible artist. And for those listeners, you know, if you're on your phone, which most people are nowadays, make sure you go to Instagram and check out the Imaginary Library. The Imaginary Library. Cecilia, again, I just said it, you're an amazing artist, but you're very creative. Can you tell us, what is the Imaginary Library and what is the 100-day project you are doing?
Yes. So the Imaginary Library, it's an Instagram account I started specifically to do something called the 100-day project. And the 100-day project, the origin of this, I think, started with a professor who essentially had his students for a specific class do something for 100 days. The goal was to just do one very specific action for 100 days straight in order to create a habit. Mm. And since then, over, I think, the last few years, it's kind of transferred over to the internet. And there's a community of people who just decide to start on April 2nd and do a 100-day project of their own for 100 days. And people do everything from knitting to cooking to I have a friend who's doing six-word stories every single day. My own project is around grief and trying to express the process of grieving. And it is very much a tribute to my mom, as well as trying to understand this very complicated experience. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've essentially done for the past 100 days. And today was actually the 100th day, so wow. I get to take a little break.
Wow. Couple questions. Is it every April 2nd? I think I heard you say that. So every April 2nd, you could start it whenever?
I think every year it starts in April. Okay. This year, I remember it started, I think it was April 2nd or April 3rd.
That is so cool. Can I ask what class that was where the assignment was given?
I don't remember, but I think, so I know the professor's name was Michael Beirut, and I know he's a designer. And so he was teaching classes at Yale. I'm not exactly sure what the course was.
Okay, so I love the assignment. That's why I'm asking. I'm all into forming habits. I believe habits form who you are, who forms what kind of life you're going to live. I think it's a great assignment, and I'm going to try to steal it and do something. But can I ask you this? First of all, how long has it been since you've lost your mother?
It's been almost a year and a half.
Okay. As you know, Cecilia, and as our listeners know, we lost our mother as well. And, I mean, what was that, Cheryl? 20?
Yeah, you're the 94. 94.
So 24 years ago. And I'm going to say this as an older person to you, is that, you know, the grief comes in waves, and it's going to come different times in your lives. I mean, now you're struggling and suffering as a child of your mother. And then when you have your family, I'm not sure if you have kids, but then you'll start to struggle in that way. And then when your kids are older, the teenage years, you're going to, when they're babies, you're going to want a babysitter, and your mom, you're going to think about your mom. And so it's a struggle that happens throughout life. And I'm not trying to scare you I'm just trying to be real. Can I ask you this? Since doing the 100-day project, have you felt any different?
I do think I do think I feel different in some ways. I think that before I did this project, I didn't really have an outlet to express how I was feeling. I tried different things. I tried support groups. You know, I've talked to friends. I read self-help books. I tried a lot of different things, and there wasn't anything that really made me feel better.
Yeah.
And it was a very isolating experience, and it was also very challenging because in my full-time job, I lead a team, and I'm a manager, and when you're in that position, it's so important to radiate calm. It's really important to be caring for other people. And I think I got to a point where it just felt like I was putting a mask on every single morning, and I felt very alone and isolated. And so I think one of the things that's been very special about this project is just that feeling of feeling a little bit less alone.
Yeah.
Feeling there have been so many amazing people who've reached out to me through this project and shared their own stories. And I think there's a part of me that's realizing how universal some of the elements are, mm-hmm. even though people feel so alone.
Yeah.
And I think that sense of, that little sense of community has been one thing that has changed for me.
And I assume that was kind of an unexpected sense of community that you kind of gained.
Completely.
Yeah. From followers and things like that.
From who?
Followers from internet.
Yeah, totally. One thing I was afraid of when I started this project would be essentially, you know, doing a ton of work and feeling like I was in an echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid of doing a project that would make me feel even more isolated and more alone by doing something that wouldn't be acknowledged or validated. But I'm really shocked by how it's gone the opposite direction.
Yeah. And one of the things I think you've touched on that's so important, and it's definitely worth repeating, is that sense of outlet. You know, I loved how you said you've tried different things, and it was something you had to find that helped. And it could be different things for different people. So anyone who's going through a similar type of loss or grief, for us, we had music and sports, and mm-hmm. you have to find an outlet, something that gives you, you know, that lets it out and where you can get that emotion out. And we're very kind of private, introverted people. So for us, mm-hmm. doing the show was kind of I don't want to say risk, that's a little too strong of a word, but in the last year, and almost 2 years since we've been doing the show, we've all agreed that just being able to talk about it has helped tremendously, you know, and gaining that sense of community has helped. So we are in complete agreement with what you just said.
Yeah. I think it's trial and error too.
Yeah.
Just have to keep trying until you find something that connects with you in any small way.
Yeah.
Hi, Cecilia. This is Terrell. And
hi.
I just wanted to ask you a question. You said you used art for healing. How often did you create, like, art? Did you do? Is this something you've often did, or?
It was always something I had loved growing mm-hmm. up. I loved fine art. I loved writing. But essentially, I think after graduating from college, I went through almost like a 10-year drought of not really making anything. I mean, my full-time job is in design, but it's a different sort of creation for different goals. So I wasn't really creating anything until this project. And part of this project was to get myself to do the thing I loved.
Right. Okay. And then my question is how were you feeling when you first started the project? Did you think it was going to be a difficult thing because it's what you post something every day? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Did you feel like you'd be able to sustain that? Were you concerned at all? Or did you think it was a hard task?
It was, I knew it was going to be hard, but it ended up being much harder than I thought it was going to be. I think it was my first time going through the process. And I think, there are definitely some low points that start happening, you know, around like day 30, day 40, 50, 60. So I think when I started, I was very optimistic about it. I didn't think it would be too challenging. I picked something where, you know, some people are doing things like these complicated oil paintings every single day. And I thought what I was doing, there were some good constraints to keep it simple. I was very nervous about sharing because I think I'm also very private and very introverted, and this has been by far the most public thing I've done in terms of sharing my most innermost feelings. So I was feeling nervous but also optimistic, and it definitely got harder along the way, and there were many days where I really wanted to take a break, like, you know, around midnight, you know, I have presentations the next morning. I really didn't want to do it, but I just forced myself to do it.
Was it difficult to keep coming up with different ideas? Did you worry about if it was going to be a good post, or you didn't really care, you just wanted to do something, or how did you approach that?
I did this process where every time I had some idea, I would write it down. And one thing that was really interesting was that as people were commenting and sharing their own stories, that actually made me remember something that I that I wanted to eventually express and draw. And so I don't feel like I ran out of ideas, but part of doing this project is valuing habit creation and quantity over quality. So there were definitely days where I posted things that I felt like I could have drawn much better, or, you know, instead of just doing something digital, I could have painted. And so I wasn't always happy with the quality, but that's part of the process, is just getting yourself to do something.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's cool. There's one post you did, or one drawing you made, that I want to ask questions about. It's the one with the hand on the cell phone, and it says favorites, mom and dad. And then it's there's a question that says, is it so crazy to think that if I call her, she'll pick up? Just from my experience, at least for the first 5, maybe even almost 10 years, I would think, not that long, but at least definitely the first several years up to 5 years, I would think that this was like, there's a chance she's alive. There's a chance
that it's surreal,
there's just a misunderstanding. Yeah. Is that something you go through, Cecilia?
Definitely.
I wonder if that's everyone goes through that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought that was just a me thing, going through, you know, losing mom at a young age and maybe not even seeing her. But right. I don't know. It was just curious to me. It's a great drawing and it's a great question. And I think it connects to so many people, because I went through the same thing where, you know, maybe this is just a big misunderstanding.
I have a question. This is Taj talking now. Hi. Did you have a connection with your mom through art? Was it because?
I didn't have a very explicit connection with her through art, but she was always very artistically minded. So she, for example, really developed a passion for photography in her last couple years of life. Also a very visual person.
Yeah.
And so maybe I've, not sure, genetically inherited some of that from her, but we didn't necessarily do artistic things together.
Yeah, no, because I was just wondering, I know when we lost our mom, she was our manager at that time, and we knew we had to finish our album, and we knew we had to do the music for her. So we dedicated the album for her. We kind of did something that we thought she might like and kind of enjoy. But also I'm a big component of, which is what you were doing, which is doing something in honor of someone in a way, kind of shifting that energy into a project. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely made me feel like I was preserving some sort of connection with her. I think one of my biggest fears is that I'm somehow going to lose that. So it's kept like a bridge between me and her.
Mm-hmm. Cecilia, you know how creative you are, correct? I'm sure you hear that.
I like hearing it.
I'm telling you, because I've I feel I'm a creative person, and I'm always looking at art and seeing what's going on. But some of your posts are so incredibly original and creative to me. Mm-hmm. And you find a way to kind of, I guess freeze is the right thing. Freeze a moment of time that usually we just pass over. Another cool post that you did, and cool is probably not the right word, but interesting, you know, is the one where it says, "One reason I dread going to the doctor," and it's a family history, and it shows the chart where it's mother, father, siblings, living, deceased, and cause and age. And it's just a reminder that all these little things that if you haven't lost anyone, you kind of just, you just know, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. when you lose someone, those are just constant reminders. Yeah. And then and then your other one that really jump up to me is the how much energy one with the batteries.
Yeah.
That's powerful. I mean, with the, you guys, if you're listening and everyone who follows us, check out the Imaginary Library. It's an Instagram. It's very creative. I'm impressed. That one's great. And then My Drugs of Choice is very powerful.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I like that one too. There's a lot in here.
Did you take a long time to come up with these, or I have to know the process. Did you just?
Yeah.
This would be cool, so I just do it, or it's like, okay, I'll make a mental note, and in a couple of days, I'll figure something out. How does it work? Because that's very creative to me.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Before I started the project, well, first it took me a while to decide to just do it this year, but I think the month before my project, or maybe it was a couple weeks, I started to just jot down some ideas that I had. So mm-hmm. when I started the project, I had maybe, you know, 15 or 20 things I knew I wanted to draw, and that list of things just slowly accumulated over time. And I think when you know you have this responsibility to be doing something for mm-hmm. so long, I think it makes you, or it made me even much more hyper aware of my own thought processes or emotions I was feeling. And so, you know, times where I might have had a passing thought and wouldn't really think much of it, I actually would, you know, notice it and write it down.
Could you keep going? Like, could you continue and do another 100 days?
Were there any ideas that you had that you weren't able,
or is there any ideas
to use?
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely still have a lot of ideas I haven't drawn yet. So it's been such a rewarding experience for me. It has been one of the most meaningful things I think I've chosen to do with my time.
This is great.
So I definitely want to continue, but I think it probably won't be the same rate in terms of one drawing per day. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I definitely didn't prioritize other things I should have been doing the past 100 days to make time for this. So it'll probably be less of a sprint and more of, like, hopefully, like a leisurely walk.
Yeah. How do you feel, Cecilia, knowing this is the last day? Are you concerned in terms of, when I say concerned, if this was a source of an outlet for you, are you worried that source won't be there if you're not hard on yourself to do something every day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you thought about that? Have you thought about that?
I have. There are different people in the world. I think some people are very driven by just internal motivation, and I think there are some people who really need structure mm-hmm. and deadlines and accountability, and I'm in the second group.
Mm-hmm.
So this project has been kind of, I think of it as like creating a temporary house for me to live in with mm-hmm. very specific structure, with, you know, a cadence of a day and a routine. And there is a part of me that's scared that once I take that away, I'm going to go back to what I was doing before, which was not investing in this. But I feel like I can't imagine not doing this anymore, mm-hmm. Because it has been so hard for me to find an outlet that actually has made a difference. So it's hard for me to see it, myself letting it go, but I also will probably need to create some sort of structure for myself, whether it's like setting time every week to do this instead of every day, but I'll find a way to do it.
I strongly suggest you continue on, find a way, even if it's 3 times a week or 4 times a week or just the weekdays. And then I think you need to make this a book. I really
this
do.
Is wow. really, this think, is really good.
I think it needs to be a 300 or no, not that much. Maybe 200. What's the number, Taj?
I don't know. Not 300.
300 is
overwhelming.
Okay, so 200?
But she's done 100.
Yeah. 100
images. So another 100. Yeah. Your images are very strong. You're a great artist and you're very creative, and I could see it as a book. I
it
really
could. Be could. And people can identify with it as
365.
It's the year. Yeah, and you do a year thing. This is great. This is really, really good.
Yeah, you do a. I'm with Terrell on that. You do a.
There's
book
your
thing.
Motivation. You said you like structure.
Yeah.
No, but this is really good. I mean, you know what's. I actually had one next to my bed, and I still have the actual rip out of August 27th from Mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I have one of those calendar things where you take a page. I used to have one, but I could see this easily being one of those with the calendar.
Right? Cause the one day. The one you're describing is that comic, right?
Which one is?
I know those. Cecilia's too young. She probably doesn't know those things.
No, I didn't have I don't think mine was comic. I think it was like a self-help thing, and it was just random quotes from different people.
Cecilia, I'm going to try to urge you to find a publisher or someone. Do you know what calendars we're talking about? The day calendars where you rip them out? Do people even do that anymore? Yeah. That's probably the problem.
I still see them.
It's pre-iPhone.
Yeah, it's pre-iPhone. Okay, so maybe not.
I got a calendar app now.
But a book is still good because her art is special.
Yeah, it is.
Don't just let this sit just on Instagram. I know you're reaching a lot and it's fulfilling one need, but there's a whole audience out there that would like to have this in book, and I can tell you that. Was pretty much certain.
Well, and also I'm reading a lot of our comments too, and they're just thanking you for being so that it's connecting with a lot of our listeners as well. And that's the thing when you put yourself out there and you know you don't even realize it, but you are helping people, and that's I know you're you see it in terms of you're getting feedback, but think of all the people that aren't actually commenting that you're still helping.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that is it's almost like the more honest we are in a way, the more we let ourselves be seen in terms of our vulnerability and our grieving, the more people can connect with it and be like, that's me, or that a part of that's me, or I identify with this picture or that picture or that one. So, yeah,
I agree.
Some of your drawings are, well, a lot of them are very simple, but they're very powerful, and they cause one to think. Can you tell me a little bit about the life meters? Because that's something that I find myself often doing.
Yeah, I think one thing I've spent a lot of time doing is obsessing over my mom's age when she died. And I think a lot of people do this, especially if their moms were extremely young. And I know that one thing that happens is people become fixated on that age, and there's a moment of, you know, anticipation before you reach it, and this surreal feeling after you've gone past it in terms of realizing that you're older than your parent ever was. And so for me, I've spent a lot of time thinking about her age and thinking about how close I am to that number, and not really close yet, but it does feel weird to know that if I were to die the same age that she did, I'd already be almost halfway through my life, and which feels very strange because I think a lot of people feel like they're still at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, you got
that's why. That's something I often think about. I've done that with Mom, and I've done that with Uncle Michael, and it's just, I don't know what it is about that. It's just you take note of their age, and you almost feel like you have that limit in a sense. I don't know. For me, it feels like that. Like not that I'm going to, I don't feel like I'm going to pass at that age, but I'm just, I don't know.
You're aware of that number.
It's a comparison.
That's so interesting.
I don't know why I have that.
I've never thought of that or experienced that thought.
Because you're 39 now, right?
Yeah.
Because you're the age mom passed away.
See, but, here's,
but you've never thought about that?
Not once.
Really?
Not once. And I part of the problem is because I probably didn't really know that number.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think of it from that point of view, if that makes sense. I think of it, I don't know. I don't, but we're different people with different brains, but I never thought about that. Not once. Taj, have you?
No, I didn't think of mom's age until Terrell brought it up that one time. I knew mom passed young and I knew that, you know, but I didn't know what age exactly it was. Unless I did math, you know.
Yeah, which you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cecile, you have, there's a quote. I believe it's a quote. It's a caption from the intro photo. Real talk, these past couple of years have been hard, really hard. Recently, I've been trying to channel it all into a 100-day project, which I've been thinking about doing for a long time. It was terrifying to start sharing, but in the past couple of weeks, I've had little moments of connection with complete strangers who have lost, are in the process of losing their parents or their own children, and people are living through terminal illnesses themselves. It's been this visceral process of getting empathy, of giving it. I want to believe that some good can come from opening up. Obviously, we've been saying it. You are making a difference for many people, so there is definitely good coming up. But I wanted to know, was there any specific connection that kind of surprised you in a good way from a unlikely source that means something to you, that has weight for you?
Yeah. There have been a couple people I've connected with through my account who are actually living through terminal illnesses. Mm. There are a couple women who are in stage four of various types of cancer, which, you know, was the experience I had with my mom. And there's been one connection that has really stuck with me, and it's a woman who has stage four breast cancer. She knows she only has months to live, but she also has a child too. She has a son who I think is 14. And some of the things that she's told me is how the process for her, when she goes through my account, it's like she's experiencing two different types of grief at one time. One is mourning the loss of her own mother, and so she can relate with me and my feelings there. The other perspective she's taking is as a mother who knows that she's going to die early and that her son is going to have to spend the rest of his life, you know, grieving her. Mm-hmm. And it's another experience where she's able to empathize with how he might possibly feel.
Wow.
That's been that has really stuck with me.
Yeah.
To be able to experience two different types of grief at the same time.
Yeah. And I gotta assume it gives you some type of strength, because you know you're positively affecting others' lives. And that's just one who's commenting and one who's reaching out to you. There's a lot of people who are just scrolling and looking and you know, not
majority.
Maybe liking and maybe not even liking, just seeing a picture, screenshotting it and keeping it in their phone. So always get your stuff out and keep it going, because it's really, really strong.
Thank you.
Cecilia, I had a few questions for you. Starting this project, did you have any expectations on how you would feel afterwards when you first started?
No, it was just take one step at a time and see what happens when it happens.
Mm, okay. And then my next question would be, do you have a favorite post and why?
That's a good question.
I know that's a hard one, because there's a lot of good ones in there.
I'm struggling.
Like mentally going through my 100 posts.
is the post that comes to mind right away.
Yeah, that we asked that first.
There isn't.
It's hard. I know what it is because people ask us is their favorite song, and it's hard because they're all special in their own way. But is there anyone that stands out with a story attached to it that stands out a little bit to you?
Can I revise the question?
Yes, revise it.
If there is only one, I guess, drawing that you could say, this is the one.
Which one would
this
be the cover of the book?
Or just she was only allowed to pick one. Like instead of saying it's your favorite, because sometimes like what encompasses you, it might not be your favorite, but it's like.
Okay, that's several different questions that Cecilia.
We're trying to make it easier, but it still seems hard.
It's a lot to choose from, though.
Is there one Cecilia that has a special kind of story or anything?
There isn't a specific drawing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Because I agree. They're all. I feel like they're very, very different.
Yeah, got it. I'm going to tell you one that I love. And that is, I don't know how you call these, but it's day 67. There's a question in the caption that says, can we agree not to call them stages ever again? My reality, a good amount of yellow, minimal purple, and way more colors overall. There's no scientific evidence for these stages. They've never been proven, but they are a thing we talk about all the time. And I'm referring to what's called the five stages of grief. Denial, mm-hmm. anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And I love your drawing, your depiction of this, because it's so accurate. And I think the mindset, the natural tendency is to think that they go in a specific order. Like, you know, first this, then mm-hmm. that, then this, then that. And in reality, like your picture depicts, it's all over the place. You could be thrown back at number one. You can go number four.
My denial was late.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it was not. Yeah.
And it can come repetitively. It can come, you know, continuously. And that's the vibe I got from your picture. Am I accurate in describing that?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. That's, and it's so funny. It's not funny, but it's so interesting that we've had many different people in here explaining it. But your picture kind of, mm-hmm. the picture explains it the best, in my opinion, because it's exactly true. And again, we're going to post this on our story, on the foundation's story, so you guys could see. But it's just powerful because there's so many different posts you have, drawings from different days, where you hit something in a very creative and simple way. So, well done.
Thank you.
There's a question on Twitter for you, and it's specifically about the how much energy, and it's the two batteries. The one that says I have and I need. Toria wants to know how did she manage to get the energy actually needed while she had only had low energy. Love this pic, which is so realistic.
It was a struggle. Does she mean the energy to do this project or just energy to
in
survive?
In general, yeah, I guess the energy to survive, basically, not just project-oriented.
I think it's really hard, and I think it's something that everyone has to find their own ways to really conserve it.
Mm-hmm.
My own strategies have been, and I actually have a drawing about this. It's day 91. There are a lot of things I've had to do for self-preservation, and I think it was just taking all of my past priorities and really eliminating almost everything that wasn't really critical to, like, my own health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of relationships, for example, that, you know, I've kind of left alone for a while. There are a lot of times I would say yes to things, whether it was at work or outside of work. And I think for me, it was really about drawing tighter boundaries around myself so that I could really focus my limited energy into just making it through.
Yeah.
Right.
Day mm-hmm. after day.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah, definitely.
I have a couple more questions for you. What advice do you have for others that are experiencing grief?
I don't know if this is advice necessarily, but I think that it's helpful, and this is very specific to different types of personalities. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the advice I would give myself is just knowing that it's going to be hard. There's a long road ahead, and there's no one solution to feeling better. And so I think it's really about just finding what you need to see and to hear and to be surrounded by that will work for you. Mm-hmm. I think it relates to what you were saying earlier, TJ, but like I think everyone has their own right to find a method of grieving that is going to work for them and is unique to who they are. Yeah. I think that's what I would say.
And then my last question is you just completed the 100-day project. So mm-hmm. What is your takeaway? What will you remember from doing this whole project?
I think it's that there are elements of grief that are completely universal. No matter who you lost and the specific circumstances of their death, there are shared things that people will feel and go through. And I think another takeaway is that it's never going to go away. I think one thing I'm learning through the dialogue that I'm having with people through the account is that, you know, 40 years from now, like hopefully I'm still alive, like it's still going to hurt and there's still going to be a hole. And I think that has been comforting to me just to acknowledge that reality.
Mm-hmm. And that is very important to say, because we always kind of had that mentality that one day we'll be okay, one day it will be fixed. But as who was it, Cheryl? Do you remember the guest we had that says, she corrected me when I said, how do you overcome grief?
Yeah, you don't.
You don't overcome grief. You navigate through it. And and that's very strong. Now, here's a question that I have to ask you. And I've been going back and forth in my head. Should I ask or should I not? Is it rude to ask? Is it? Okay, just give me a ballpark figure. How old are you?
I'm in my early 30s.
Early 30s. Okay, cool. Older than I thought, but
yeah, you're down.
I don't know. She's incredibly creative.
Don't give anything to be 30.
Okay, no. Okay, just wanted to know. So cool. And Cecilia, we've been saying it all show. You're incredibly creative. I hope you don't stop, even though the 100 days are up. Please don't stop.
This is really powerful. And it's, I mean, you're very talented. It's very creative. I mean, it's definitely helping a lot of people. Seeing these posts, it's just incredible to me.
Well, I think also just keep sharing, period, because it's helping a lot of people in that way.
And it's helping yourself.
And as TJ just said, it's helping yourself, because this show is very therapeutic for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, as much as people say, oh, it's helping us out, it's helping the three of us too.
I have one more quick question. What's next for Cecilia?
My next project, this isn't necessarily going to be reflected in art, or maybe it will be, I'm not sure. But my next project is to spend much more time with my own dad, who thankfully is still here. I think through this process of grieving and acknowledging all the regrets I have of things I should have done or could have done for my mom, it's made me incredibly grateful that I still have one parent here. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to find a way to spend as much time as I can with him and to hopefully minimize some of the regret I'm going to feel when he's not here.
Mm, got it.
That's well said. Once again, I think your art is incredible. And I just wanted to say that if I two posts summarize it to me, I looked at your very, very first post, your day one, and compare, like, from that post to the very last post, I think it says it all. It's just, I don't know if you meant to do that or if you've even recognized that, but it says a lot to me.
I just That's very that. Insightful. That's
did cool. you know you did that?
No, I didn't. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the first post, it's basically you with the coffee, right? What type of...
Oh, yeah. That was just a test drawing.
Oh, okay. Well, that yeah. bit from there, that's the first one on the imaginary library. From there to mm-hmm. the very last one is, I thought was incredible.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Cecilia, we give our guests 30 seconds or so. You don't have to take all 30 seconds, but you can take 10 seconds. But it's your final say, whatever you want to say. If there's any quotes that you think of, a great book that you like, your favorite color, whatever you want to talk about. if you want to direct them to a certain page, whatever you want to say to our audience, 30 seconds, it's your time to say whatever you feel.
I think I'll repeat what I said earlier, which is I think everyone has their own right to find the right way to grieve for them. And I think that everyone also has their own story to tell that is unique and could resonate with others or even just be healing to express themselves. So I think this process has shown the value in sharing your own individual story. And so if that's helpful for people, I would definitely, recommend trying it and taking the leap to do it. But I think that everyone has the right on their own journey to find the right ways to grieve.
Well said. Yeah. Well said. Well, Cecilia, thank you so much for joining us today. You have three fans in here mm-hmm. who are really, really respect your art,
yeah.
and we urge you to continue on. Not only for yourself, but for all of us. You're very talented. So continue doing your thing. And thank you so much for sharing your story and sharing your project with us. It meant a lot, and
yeah.
I'm sure our listeners enjoyed it as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and it was great to chat with you three.
Awesome. Take care.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a cool young lady. I'm telling you, listeners, check out her account, the Imaginary Library. She did the 100-day project. It's some very powerful stuff. You'll see what we're talking about. It's just very creative. But that's it for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, Terrell, anything you guys want to say before I close?
No, I just have Paul Simon's song in my head.
Which one?
Cecilia.
Oh. I didn't even mention that. I meant to, actually.
The whole time.
I wasn't even thinking that.
That's such a great song.
Yes, it is.
Back up. We got to close.
Concentrate.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys, for listening. We're back next Wednesday at 1:00. And thanks for working through us, through our grandfather's passing.
Yeah.
We were rescheduling the charity softball game for July 29th.
Mm-hmm.
More details are coming soon. But thank you guys so much. And thank you always for supporting DDJF. Have a wonderful week. Was there anything, Taj?
Yeah.
Okay. Take care, you guys. Thanks so much. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources...